qu'elle a un thème central. Comment échapper quand vous avez un contrôle extrême de la société sur votre vie? Et en fait, c'est lui qui a donné le thème de votre soirée pour le 10e anniversaire de ma tournée Poésie en Voix. Pour ceux qui ne connaissent pas son histoire, il est donc confiné en isolement depuis 26 ans. Et ce soir, il va vous lire deux de ses poèmes. Et ensuite, vous aurez la possibilité de discuter avec lui, de lui poser des questions. Peter se chargera de faire les traductions. Voilà, incessamment sous peu, il devrait appeler. Donc c'est pour ça aussi, comme il expliquait en voix, que nous étions très serrés sur le temps. Il n'a pas beaucoup de latitude pour passer ses appels. C'est extrêmement émouvant pour moi d'en parler. C'était aussi extrêmement touchant de construire cette soirée, enfin sa performance avec lui, et de lui parler. Quelquefois, il avait la possibilité de vous appeler. Je dois dire que pour moi, quand j'ai découvert cet homme et son travail, ça a été un peu un miroir pour moi, et de qu'est-ce que c'est d'échapper, qu'est-ce que c'est le contrôle dans la vie de chacun, dans la mienne. Et c'est aussi pour ça qu'à ma cavalerie qu'on a eu très envie de poser ce thème.
C'est que les questions doivent passer par moi. Même si vous posez la question en anglais, malheureusement, je dois répéter parce qu'il n'y a qu'un micro. Donc, je demande votre patience avec ce processus qui va couper le temps, réduire le temps à moitié.
Oui, en fait, vous l'entendrez, mais lui ne peut pas vous entendre. C'est pour ça que je suis avec le casque.
Yes, I hear you very well.
Oh. Okay.
and want to share with you all a story, and in telling this story, I hope to paint a picture for you all. This story is what took place 3 days into my hearing, my case, where I was on trial in 1993.
Ce que je veux raconter, c'est l'histoire de ce qui s'est passé après, au bout de 3 jours de mon procès en 1993 pour meurtre.
Can I proceed now with the story by Etienne?
Please go ahead. Et donc il va raconter l'histoire qui va être montrée sur l'écran. Ok, thanks, can you go ahead, please?
After 3 long, formidable days of introducing evidence and listening to contentious testimony in open court, both parties, the DA and the public defender, who was designated to represent me in the proceedings, ceased all course of action and advised the court that they rest the case. The judge then slightly turned and faced the body of the panel jurors who was sitting in the jury box adjacent to him on the right side of the courtroom and began verbally reading them the final jury instructions according to law. By social standards, south of the Mason-Dixon line, this was supposed to be a qualified group of my peers, a fair and impartial jury. However, when it became blatantly obvious on day one of jury voir dire that the judge was allowing the DA to systematically exclude African Americans from the jury pool, solely on account of their race, I knew that the bogus slogan fair and impartial would serve as a vain and deflated truth for me. After the judge had given the penalty phase instructions to the jury concerning the rules applicable to the case, the only thing remaining now was the conclusion. Just after nightfall, on Thursday, December 16, 1993, one by one, in a single, file line, 12 jurors composed of 11 whites and 1 black began exiting the crowded courtroom to deliberate what is the sentence be to life in prison without the possibility of parole or death. I need an objection. Then suddenly, in the corner of my eye, in the peripheral field of my vision, I could see and sense the sensation of physical aggression beginning to ooze from the well-dressed, elderly, gray-haired white man as he unexpectedly sprung with a leap to his feet from the seat that he occupied next to the middle-aged lady on the wood bench in the gallery area of the courtroom. I calculated his height to be about 6 feet tall as he reached measurable length. Then, without warning, crudely, rudely, and abruptly, with threatening vigor, his full-toned voice powerfully and loudly spewed out the 3 words stating, "Kill that nigga!" I was dressed in brown, bushy, uncut afro, trying to emotionally and spiritually brace myself from the thrusting bombardment of gloom energy. I felt the world was unreasonably shifting upon me. I wasn't that menace to society as the DA labeled me to be, nor was I that gun-packing gangster that he so imaginatively and poetically depicted for the jury. Yes, I had committed misdeeds in my life, but I was far from being an intimidating threat that I was being judged to be. No one in the trial proceeding knew the complete truth other than me. The DA's mean version of the crime events was full of hocus pocus. It was confusing at best. One minute, he told the jury that I was the shooter. Then 3 weeks later, spoke of me as simply being an accomplice to the crime. The truth was, I had actually participated in the botched robbery. But Al, who had accepted his fate weeks prior by pleading guilty, was the one who drew the 32 caliber weapon and fired the single shot that caused the unintentional death of Mr. Turner. Nonetheless, my incumbent defense counsel refused to call Al into court as a witness on my behalf, which left the jury's mind open to the assumption that I was the actual shooter. To me, the full trial felt like a sham against the principles of law. Back in the hood, in the environment I was originally from, we labeled these type of converted procedures as a Negro being railroaded in a kangaroo court. But this was my fate for refusing to plead guilty to killing Mr. Turner, as Al had done just a month or so earlier. Now, my future, my life, hung in the balance of justice in this clean, white, moderate, but eerie, dirty courthouse full of many onlookers whom I had seen before. Then, without hesitation, you can hear the judge striking his gavel against the wood plaque and ordering with strong authority, order in the court, order in the court, order in the court. To which the disorderly man complied and calmly sat back down. But the prior milliseconds was irreversible. The damage had been done. The out-of-line commotion was an influencing message that could not be erased from the jury's conscience. This everyone knew. During deliberation, I waited for what felt like an endless, imaginable amount of time. Then, at 9 p.m. sharp, the jailer announced to me that the jury had reached his verdict. Even though I didn't pull the trigger, I was sentenced to death and became the youngest condemned inmate on death row in Arkansas at 18. That is the conclusion of my story. I would now like to share a poem with you all, and after I share this poem, I will be open to any Q&A that the audience may have for me. This poem I titled Strange Fruit. Strange fruit is what a southern slave once considered it to be. The description of a Negro hanging and dangling from the limb of a sycamore tree. Justice is what many labeled it to be, a spirit tradition that thousands came out to witness and see. The barbaric killing of a brother man for the deed he committed against another man. Lynching is what history would later acknowledge it to be. The death penalty is the code name that is mostly used to now describe the atrocity. While capital punishment is what Black Smoke Dictionary defined it to be. In this generation of new chemicals and high-tech technology. To some, to the naive, just because you cannot see strange fruit literally dangling from the limb of the tree, many have written off lynching as if they no longer exist in our society. but I am the root bearer of the strange fruit, minus the sycamore tree. And if you open your eyes, this reality you will see. Thank you all.
How did you come to art, to writing and painting?
How did I even start?
Yes.
I've been an artist all my life, and I say this to you literally, I've been talented all my life. It was just before coming to prison, I lived in poverty, and it was hard to nurture the talent that I had in me because of so much life struggling, trying to survive. Don't really have time to focus in on those types of talents because you're so much on the survival mode. But it was prison that made me realize the power of the talent that I had.
Okay.
And I'm trying to share it with the world now, such as what I've done this week.
Depuis toujours, il s'est trouvé un talent pour l'art en général qu'il n'a pas pu exercer parce que la vie était dure, il se concentrait sur survivre. En fin de compte, c'est la prison qui lui a fait, qui lui a laissé se concentrer sur les problèmes, ses problèmes à travers l'art. Ok. Autre question?
Did you all, let me ask the audience a question, please.
Sure.
Did you all write the piece that I did by 18?
Est-ce que l'écriture vous a plu? Le morceau qui s'appelle By 18, c'est-à-dire le récit sur le procès.
Oui, oui. C'est impressionnant.
On dit yes. So, oui, c'est un yes, un thumbs up in the audience. So.
Okay, but that's a plus. Did nobody scream out no?
No. Nobody's screaming out no. So, other questions? We are very timid here. Oh, here's a question from the back. Yep.
Very loving things. The
acoustics are very bad here, and we're using this to the front. Oh, wait, I'll just pass the phone to this man.
Just how
how would you respond to a question like, if you were there at a crime, or if you were aware of who did a crime? I think we know what it is. I'm speaking to you specifically, not the crowd. And sometimes it's like, you know what comes with these sort of, these actions, the consequences. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Can you understand English very well?
This gentleman can, but I'll have to translate for the rest of the audience. So go ahead, please.
Okay. One, there is always knowledge of your actions. Even in the faith, there is knowledge of your actions. If you're doing something wrong, there is consequences. Whether you're doing it against mankind or you're doing it against the laws of nature, there's a response. Growing up, I knew that there was responses for my actions, but I was living in survival mode. You know, you don't care about it. When you're waking up every day and your thought process is, am I going to die today, or am I going to end up in prison today? It's very little thought on the consequences because you're in survival mode. After being in prison for 26 years now, over half my life, I've spent over half my life in solitary confinement. You think about your actions and the consequences about your actions more and deeper, not just on a simple level of thinking about, you know, the injustice that is going to take place, or the repercussions for things that you may do, regardless of those things may be cheating on your wife, gambling too much money when you don't have it. Breaking the law, you know, there's consequences for all of those things. And I have realized those things, understood those things from a greater principle than I did before coming to prison. Because my mindset is not now on survival mode every day. You know, I'm sitting here in solitary confinement with the opportunity to start to think about my actions, the actions of the world, and all of those things. So I feel a little bit different. If I were in a situation where a crime was being committed and I was in one of these positions, well, what do I do left or right? Can't tell you what I can do, because I ain't in that moment. I can tell you what I think I would want to do, what my heart would try to lead me to do. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's what I would do, because we don't always have the answer to what we know and how we're going to respond to certain situations in our life. But I would want to believe that what I have learned and who I am today, I would do the right thing.
Pour répondre à votre question, oui, je sais qu'il y a des conséquences à vos actions. Je le sais depuis toujours, même les bébés le savent. Et quand j'étais jeune, j'étais en mode survivre, donc je ne pensais pas aux conséquences. Mais maintenant, j'ai eu très longtemps à y réfléchir, 26 ans, plus la moitié de ma vie. Je suis en prison à penser à ça. Et en effet, je vois les conséquences des actions. Tricher sur sa femme, dépenser trop d'argent quand on n'a pas. Qu'est-ce que je ferais si je voyais quelqu'un commettre un crime? Je ne sais pas. Je sais ce que je voudrais. Je voudrais faire. Je voudrais faire la bonne chose. Mais on peut jamais garantir qu'on fera ce qu'on devrait faire dans la vie. Ok, please go ahead. Il y a d'autres questions? Ambroise, vas-y.
Round of applause for the translator one time.
In particular, where does that image come from? The image isn't a word that you actually saw.
nothing yet, and that is, out of all the species of birds, there is a lot of species of birds. The hummingbird is the only bird that can stand right in front of you, trying to swing and fly directly in front of you. All other birds must soar from the air when they fly, but not the hummingbird. It can stand directly in front of your face. And I never forget it. So one day I just picked up paintbrush and paint and said, I'm paint a hummingbird.
Okay.
That was a hummingbird today.
Okay. Bon, c'est une longue réponse. À l'âge de 21 ans, il a demandé s'il pouvait faire une licence par correspondance pour chercher à apprendre quelque chose. Ça a été refusé. Donc, il a appris à lire tout ce qu'il trouvait, tout ce qui passait par la prison. Donc, et parmi ses livres, il y avait un livre sur les colibris, la vie et les habitudes des colibris. Donc, le colibri, c'était rien pour lui, c'est pas un oiseau qu'il connaissait, mais il a su par exemple que cet oiseau peut voler juste devant ton visage sans bouger. Et c'est la seule espèce d'oiseau qui peut faire ça. Donc il a pris son pinceau, il a peint le colibri. Are you still there, Kenny?
Nous sommes arrivés au bout de la soirée.